Blog Talk Radio.
We hope.
There is a sixth dimension beyond that which is known to men. It is a dimension as immense as the sky and as perpetual as eternity. It is the middle ground between illumination and darkness, between knowledge and ignorance. It lies between the depths of man's horror and the apex of his learning. This is a dimension of fantasy. It is an area which we call the Eerie Zone.
It's so eerie, it sometimes doesn't work around here, but we think we've got things under control. Good evening, welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with my partner whose microphone may be muted. We'll fix that right now. All right. We're having a few more technical difficulties as we get the show started. Hopefully you can hear me, can you? Oh, no.
Can you hear me now?
Hey,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear
okay,
you.
Okay,
okay. Here along with
another fun-filled night, Dale.
Here along with.
Oh, the goat. Yeah.
The goat's here along with Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
Oh, okay. I forgot to identify myself.
We must have really gotten a cursed doll.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. It's been a heck of a weekend. Hey, tell everybody what we're doing tomorrow night, Dale.
Nothing really. But what we're trying to do is restore last night's show. And according to Blog Talk, it's still recording and still processing, so we don't think we're ever going to see it again. But Dave had the wherewithal and wisdom to record the mass majority of it, record it, do a little fancy-schmancy editing, and poof, we're putting it up in the archive. It's going to play, you know, we're not going to host it or anything. We're just going to throw it out since we're already hosting it. We don't want to host ourselves, hosting radio program.
I'm confused. Am I in that now or what? I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, it's a reenactment of last night's show because we want to have it in the archive. I know good old Bob mentioned he was going to go back and listen because it was problematic for the live show last night.
To be honest with you, a good part of it was there. It just basically the suspense and a couple other things that I replayed in order to fill up the void were just under 2 hours. So a couple of the bonus things are there as well as our wheel and our twin spin. So we're all set for tomorrow night, 6:30, but Dale can have more about that later. I just want everybody to know that you're still going to be able to hear what happened last night.
That's right. A little clever editing again by our mastermind programming, Dave to the rescue.
Yeah, as soon as it said we're having troubles, I devised a way to record the dumb thing so that hopefully if something did happen, which it did, and tonight, I'm not so sure it isn't going to happen, so I've got it recording now, too. I missed the very open, but the rest of it is intact at this moment. So
yeah, and we're more or less intact, so yeah, we do have a radio program for you, too. No paper dolls. This one's going to be kind of creepy tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Well, and when you think of Rudyard Kipling, you don't think of creepy stories. You think of, like, The Jungle Book and Mowgli's Adventures and things like that. This is not your typical Rudyard Kipling story.
Okay. I must have gotten it confused with another one called Toy Death because they credited a different writer. I don't know. I did some research.
Oh, okay. Well, could be a different story. According to the opening credits that we'll hear shortly, I'm pretty sure that E.G. Marshall credited the original story to Rudyard Kipling, adapted for the Mystery Theater.
Ooh, okay, cool. I hope that it is, because I've always been a fan of Rudyard Kipling's stuff, including original Jungle Book. Not quite like the Disney Jungle Book.
Yeah, the bear didn't sing in the. Matter of fact, are there bears in the jungle?
I don't know.
In India? Thinking about it, well, maybe there was. I mean, he spent time in India.
Yep.
As a British soldier, I believe. So,
you know, there's like panthers and stuff.
So yeah, they have panthers and they have snakes. I just didn't realize there were any bears in the jungle.
Yeah. Well, hey, you got to do something with that Baloo
the
bear.
And what's the and what's the jungle without Baloo bear? You know, come on.
Yeah. It's just not the same. No,
yeah,
there couldn't be jungle bears. I don't know.
Jungle bears.
Jungle bears. We have no jungle bears for you tonight, though. We do have a
no jungle bears tonight. Nope. We do have a bit of a creepy tale for you.
Who do we have starred in this?
Oh, sure. Now you ask. Good question.
A couple of folks from radio. If it's the episode I'm thinking of, it is. Read our show description. Should tell you that it's Patricia Elliott and Christopher Tabori.
Well, that's okay. Okay.
I
those
think.
Are two of the three. Yeah,
I
and then
think.
There's another guy in there as well.
If it's the one I think it is.
It is that one. Okay. Fine. I don't know.
I got an idea. We can let E.G. Marshall tell us.
It won't come up. Oh, okay. I guess. Try it one more time. Get my little. There we are. Yeah, I know Christopher DeVore is in it, and Patricia Elliott. Okay, James Agate Jr. Okay, but there are more in it than that. The one guy that's kind of the old corporal or captain or whatever, he's not Christopher Tabori, but.
All right. Well, anyway, let's find out more. I'm sure E.G. Marshall will tell us as we.
Hopefully he will, yes.
Yeah.
At least at the end he will, yeah.
That's right. And this one is Toy Death. It's from.
It was episode number 1224. From July 22nd of 1980, and one.
Ooh, scary.
What the heck is this? Oh, okay.
I'm afraid to turn the microphones off, gang. He may never come back.
They're coming for us. They're coming for us. Anytime now, we can start the show.
That's right. It's counting down.
Anytime. There you go.
The
start.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. Today's Mystery Theater offering is called Toy Death. It involves a doll. Essentially, a doll is a figure in human form intended for a child, probably the oldest plaything in the world. But dolls are also found in catacombs, in graves dating thousands of years before Christ. They have meanings and powers almost opposite. In one country, a doll is a wedding gift. In another, it is very unlucky. Worshipped, feared, played with, a doll has been all things to all people.
Good Lord! Will you look at that?
It's a primitive doll. Ugly thing. I'd toss it into the fire if I were you.
I wouldn't, Mrs. Fowler.
Why not? Why wouldn't you burn it?
I wouldn't dare.
Our mystery drama, Toy Death, was adapted from a story by Algernon Blackwood, especially for the Mystery Theater, by James Agate, Jr., and stars Christopher Tabori and Patricia Elliott. I shall return shortly with Act One. India, where this account begins and ends, is a land of contradictions, extreme poverty, and untold wealth, deep spiritualism, and superstition. Monkeys and cows eat while people starve. Roads are impassable, yet trains are crowded. Not only for business, but those carrying the bones of a loved one to a sacred river. Contrasts incongruous, yet accepted. And in England, a young girl who has the mark of India on her cries out in fear-ridden sleep.
No! Don't! Don't! Please! You can't! Don't! Oh! Daddy! Daddy? Where are you? I can't find you. I can't see you, Daddy.
Again. Oh, that was the worst. Oh, how long am I going to keep having them?
Isabella?
So clear. So real. But it's not real. It never happened. I never saw it happen.
Isabella, are you all right?
Yes, Father. I'm all right, thank you.
I heard you from upstairs screaming.
It was only a nightmare.
Oh, goodness. Mind if I sit down a moment? No, better than that. Let me open the windows and let the smell of the garden come in. It's awfully warm in here. You really gave me quite a start.
I'll put my robe on and come sit by the window next to you.
Shall I turn up the gas mantle so we won't sit in the dark?
No, no, there's light enough from that little slice of moon and the stars. Oh, isn't it bright in the garden?
Yeah. Well, take the rocking chair, dear.
No. I'll sit on the floor.
All right. I might as well then. This rocker was always your mother's favorite chair.
I know, Father.
She made me bring it back here to England. I can see her now rocking back and forth, making little doll's clothes in our garden in Calcutta. Remember? Right under the big banyan tree.
Can we please not talk about Mother?
Not?
Please, Father.
I've noticed that when you need me, when you're frightened, you call me Daddy as you used to when you were little. Otherwise, it's Father.
Well, which do you prefer?
What I really prefer is to know why you keep having these terrifying nightmares.
I don't know.
And they're certainly terrifying to me. When I hear you cry out like that, my heart literally stops, absolutely cold, as though I were dead for an instant.
I'm truly sorry, Father. I don't know why it happens. It's getting so that I'm almost afraid to go to bed at night.
I've asked you before, but what is it you dream? You must know that.
I can't tell you that. I just can't.
All right. Maybe someday you will.
Father?
Yes?
What did Mother die of?
I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think anyone else is. The doctors in India didn't know. That's why we brought her back here.
At night, in this room, sometimes I feel she's still alive and trying to tell me something.
I wish it were true. She loved you, Isabella. Well, now, we've had our little talk, you feel as though you could close your eyes? I know I do. Tony Parker is coming in at 9 tomorrow morning, ready to take dictation. I shall need sleep to have my wits about me.
Of course you do, Father. How are the memoirs coming?
Slowly, very slowly. Tony is helping me organize the material, and I've only just begun the actual writing. Oh, dear, I'm tired. I need sleep.
Well, you go upstairs and get it. If I can't settle down, I'll play with my dollies.
Oof, why can't you call it your doll collection? I wish you wouldn't use those childish words. You're a grown-up woman of 20. Well, I'm going. It certainly is bright here. It's like living in the garden.
That's what I love about it. Besides it having been Mother's room.
You think you can go back to bed now?
Yes, I'm all right. You go along upstairs, and I'm sorry to have awakened you.
That's what I'm here for. Well, I'll see you in the morning, Isabella. Have a good night's rest, dear, what's left of it.
Sitting as you always did in your favorite rocking chair. I was sure you would come because of the new moon. It wasn't just a dream, was it? It did happen. What am I going to do now? There's no way to prove anything. If I said to anyone, did you know my father was the one who... If I said that to anyone, they'd have me put away, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? Mother? Mother? What are we going to do about him?
How far did we get yesterday with the memoirs? Just a moment. Is that you, Mrs. Fowler?
Yes, Captain Trevelyan.
Well, don't stand there in the door of my study. Please come in.
Was there anything you'd like me to do?
Where is our morning tea, Mrs. Fowler? Parker's been here since 9 and no tea.
Oh, I'm just bringing it up, sir. We had a little problem downstairs that I didn't get to it.
What problem? Why wasn't I told?
Oh, we didn't wish to disturb you, sir.
Well, you have, so what was it?
This morning, shortly before 7, you know my room is right next to Miss Isabella's. I heard someone trying the French doors from the outside. So I opened my window and I shouted, go away, and this man, well, I couldn't really make him out. It just buzzed off.
Well, if you see this prowler again, call the police.
Oh, I shall.
Good enough. We'll tea then as soon as you can, Mrs. Fowler.
Yes.
Now, Tony, I've looked over what you wrote down yesterday, but I have a feeling there was something else I mentioned as you were going.
Just a paragraph. I took it home to type up, sir. Let's see. Something about, yes, your first encounter with a cobra in Delhi. You said, there it was. A 6-foot-long cobra eyeing me as I walked in the door. I moved to the right. It moved to the right. I moved to the left.
Strike all that.
What?
Cross it out. Leave it out.
Oh, but that could be a very exciting and extraordinary part of your recollection, sir. I think you're making a big mistake, if I may say so. Mrs. Fowler?
Yes? Come in, Mr. Parker. The kitchen door's open. I'm just about to scramble up some eggs for everyone's lunch.
He's gone out.
The captain? Without eating?
Yes, someone called him on the phone, and the captain said he'd be over right away, which meant I was dismissed and won't be required until tomorrow. So I thought I'd come in and tell you.
Well, you're not going all the way back to Oxford on an empty stomach. Oh, there goes the bell. Someone's at the front door.
I'll get it, Mrs. Fowler.
All righty, Miss Isabella. Are you married, Mr. Parker?
No, I never have been.
I just wondered if you'd taken any notice of Miss Trevelyan.
Oh, I have, yes. Very attractive girl.
Woman. She's 20.
Really? Sometimes she acts rather, well, rather young, I'd say.
Well, only about her dollies.
Oh, please, please, I wince whenever I hear that word. If she had to say anything at all, I prefer just to say collection. It's a bit young, you know.
And how old are you?
31.
And never married?
Oh, too busy trying to earn my living as a writer.
Oh, so you write, too?
To afford it, I've become a stenographer for wealthy clients like Captain Trevelyan, to whom writing is a hobby.
So that's what you think of my father's memoirs. A hobby?
Oh, excuse me, Miss Trevelyan. I've told him as much.
What's in that little parcel you have there, dear? The strangest thing happened just now. You know, when I went to answer the door, there was this tall, very handsome man. He looked just like the Sikhs one sees in the East Punjab.
Was he dark? Did he wear a turban?
Yes, he did.
That's the man.
There's the man who's been hanging about this house since early morning. And he said, "Is this the house of Captain Hugh Trevelyan?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And then he handed me this parcel. So I looked at it. It has no name on it, who it was to or from or anything. And when I looked up, he'd gone. Vanished.
Well, I wonder what's in it.
I have no idea.
Well, why don't you open it?
You don't think it's for my father?
I'd say you're as much part of the House of Trevelyan as your father is.
Now, here, the scissors. Come on now, give me that parcel.
But no, wait.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I just had the strangest sensation.
Tony, you too.
Did you, Isabella?
Yes, a kind of, well, emanation. I can't explain it exactly.
What is the matter with you two? Are we going to open the silly package, or aren't we?
In a moment. Can you describe that feeling, Tony?
Well, let's see if I can. Simply. You know, Isabella, the classical language of the Hindus is Sanskrit, and our word divine comes from a Sanskrit root meaning radiance.
Radiance. Yes. Yes, I felt that, too.
You see, it's nothing to be afraid of. It was rather pleasurable, wasn't it? I think we should go ahead and open it and see what's inside. Good Lord. Will you look at that?
Yes. It's a doll. A primitive doll.
Yes, but not a child's doll. Like a fetish with a wax face and a body of straw.
Ugly thing. I'd toss it into the fire if I were you.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I don't think it's ugly at all. It's beautiful.
How could anybody make a thing like that for a child to play with?
It's not a child's toy.
A doll like that would frighten the wee thing half to death. It's hideous.
How can you say that? I love it.
Well, what's it good for? If it were up to me, I'd do away with it.
I'd be very careful.
You wouldn't burn it.
I wouldn't dare.
Dolls have played a strange role in some religions. Certain ones are said to contain spirits which can influence human actions. However, isn't it possible that the sender of this odd gift simply knew that Isabella, as had her mother before her, collected dolls? And Tony, is he not perhaps finding something sinister in an object merely primitive? I shall return shortly with perhaps a few clues and a few answers in Act Two.
Go to sleep.
I tell you, you're a ghost.
Go on. Ghosts, spooks, skeletons, kid stuff. There are no such things as ghosts.
Can you hear me now, anybody? I don't see anything coming through. Ah, thanks, Blog Talk. Can't come through, can I? I don't believe I'm here. Nope, nothing. Nothing. Okay, I am here. Okay, so what we're looking at here is, as I got into this thing here, as again, I said that Dale was right once again. And let me find out. I found some information on this right here. I was not aware of this guy before. Algernon Henry Blackwood was the writer of this. I listened to so many stories that I guess that's how I got it confused. Anyway, in March 14th, 1869 through December 10th of 1951, he was an English broadcasting narrator, journalist, novelist, and short story writer, among the most prolific ghost story writers.
You overheard remarks about morning tea, lighting the gas mantle, reference to the British rule of India, a clue certainly to the time of our tale, the early 1900s. However, a daughter who collects dolls and believes she communicates with her dead mother, a young writer working as a secretary, and a retired army officer trying to rewrite his past are as much the stuff of today's drama as yesterday's.
Tony? What is it? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, am I? Sorry.
Is it because I carry this new doll around with me? Is it?
I really don't know what you're talking about, Isabella.
Don't you? It's been 2 weeks now since that man in the turban delivered it to me, and every afternoon, after you've finished Father's work, we've taken a walk to some different part of the countryside.
Isabella, don't think I'm not happy about that, because I am. Even today, when we're not exploring, just sitting here in the garden with you is nice. But you don't usually see an adult woman holding a kind of doll as if it were a baby.
And it bothers you?
No.
It wouldn't matter to me if it did. Of all my dollies, this is my favorite. Why did you say this was more like a fetish than a doll?
Oh, forget I said that. It's just some primitive piece, probably sent to your father as a remembrance of India.
I'm not so sure Father wants to remember everything about India.
You're not?
Well, you should know better than I. Has he started about my mother, how he met her and how they went together to India?
I was going to say that. We're well into India, but certainly 18 years back, but not a word about your mother or you.
I wonder why.
I put it down to being perhaps too painful, a sudden, inexplicable death.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Mrs. Fowler.
Isn't that strange? Rock-a-bye, baby. Johnny, I don't think there's anything bad about this dolly. It's just a little thing.
Yes. But didn't it strike you odd, the moment we were about to unwrap the parcel? I mean, you've been calling me Mr. Parker all along, so naturally I called you Miss Trevelyan. Then suddenly you said Tony, and I found myself saying to you Isabella, and it was the most natural thing in the world, as if we'd always known one another.
I never realized that. That's so.
Yes.
Are both your parents alive, Tony?
No, I was an orphan. I don't know who my parents were.
Would you say it's logical that I sometimes... sometimes feel I can talk to my mother, even though she passed away 2 years ago?
You were very close.
Not close enough. Or it might never have happened.
Isabella?
Yes?
Try not to think about the past too much.
Sometimes I think so hard about my mother I can make myself believe she's right in my room.
Yes, well, it's not a good idea. Dwelling on the past can be sad-making.
I'm not. I feel happy now. I've got you to talk to, my dolly, and the whole collection in my room. Someday I'll show it to you.
Just let me add a few more thoughts before we end today's session, Tony. You ready?
My pencil's poised, Captain.
In all the years I spent in India, I always felt the spiritual influence of both the Bengali poet and mystic Tagore and that of Mahatma Gandhi. Well, I think that'll be it for today. By the way, I understand from Mrs. Fowler you've been seeing quite a bit of Isabella.
Oh, I wasn't keeping it a secret, sir. Isabella hasn't mentioned it to you herself?
No, she hasn't. We don't talk together as much as we should.
Because of her mother?
What do you know of her mother? What has she told you?
Oh, no, nothing, nothing at all. Except that she feels very close to her, even in death.
Yes. Well, when you've typed up what I've dictated since Monday, you may leave. I'm off to London on business. If it gets late, we have an extra room. It's yours. What's the time? Ah, good. I'll just make it to the station for the 2:00.
Captain Trevelyan, I'm sorry if I said anything about Isabella and her mother that was unwarranted. I'm very fond of your daughter. It was merely to let you know that I'm quite concerned about her.
Well, Tony, it's a good thing she does see something of you. Bring her out of her shell. It's not healthy for a young woman to spend so much time with a collection of dolls. But what can I do? Her mother was just like that.
Come in. Yes, Mrs. Fowler.
You've got to come now. There's something quite ghastly in Miss Isabella's room, and you have got to see it.
Is she all right?
So far as I know. Just follow me. Just across this landing, down these steps. There's her room. I don't know what to make of it. Where the door's open. That's her room.
Isabella.
She's not in there, Mr. Parker. She went out late this afternoon with that doll of hers.
Oh, yes, I know. It's distressing.
I want to show you something. Look there on the floor. What do you see?
Someone spilled drops of red ink from the door to the bottom of the bed. Is that what you mean?
And there's more on the other side.
Ah, yes, I see. From the bed of the French window...
I came into her room after she'd gone out to clean up a bit. I found these marks and I tried to wash them away. I tried vinegar, fine sand, chalk. Well, they simply won't come out.
Yes, ink is very hard to remove.
But it's not ink, Mr. Parker. Look closely. Those little spots are very dark and thick. It is blood.
Oh, probably Isabella cut herself.
You don't believe that. Neither do I. Mr. Parker, could you do me a great favor?
Oh, of course, anything.
Captain Trevelyan won't be back from London until tomorrow. I could put you up in the spare room, which is just down the hall from Miss Isabella's. Could you spend the night here?
Oh, I'd be glad to.
You don't know what a relief that is. I have this awful presentiment of something evil. Mr. Parker, are you awake?
I am now.
Mr. Parker.
Coming.
What is it? You've got to come with me just down the hall. Hurry.
What's the time?
It just struck 3. I think I must be going mad.
All right, all set. Look at that lightning. I'm glad I'm not on the road tonight.
I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Mrs. Fowler, now, can you show me what it is?
Yes, but we mustn't make a sound. I don't want to wake her. No, just open the door and stand there and observe.
Open what door, Mrs. Fowler? Stand where? Observe what?
Miss Isabel's room. That ugly doll. It's alive. I awoke when the storm began, and I went around the house, as I always do, just to make sure the windows are shut. So I went into her room, and there it was. Mr. Parker, I swear to you by all that's holy, it was walking across the floor.
Not the doll.
Yes. I closed the door immediately and ran to fetch you.
All right now. What do you want me to do?
I'm going to open her door very quietly and have a look.
You're quite sure this is no part of a bad dream of yours?
Oh, shh, shh.
The room's pitch black. And how could you have seen anything?
Lightning. The lightning struck and lit up the whole room.
I can't make out a thing. It's going to be very embarrassing if she wakes up.
But I have to know. Your eyes will get accustomed to the dark in a minute. Now look there. Can you see her bed?
Yeah, dimly.
Do you see her hand? Do you see what's in it?
I think so.
It's that horrible
thing. Yes, let's go out. Come along. I don't want her to wake up and find us here. Now, Mrs. Fowler, I've looked into the room as you asked. I saw the doll, but it wasn't moving. It was lying in her hand just as I've seen her carrying it about for weeks. I really don't think there's anything to worry about. Good night.
Mrs. Fowler, from what you tell me, I don't see what the problem was last night.
Captain Trevelyan, you don't, because you didn't see what I saw.
I think you could use a week or two of holiday.
There's just too much going on in this household to suit me, Captain.
I am not that happy with her fondness for dolls at her age, but I have to make allowances. Her mother was very much like that, too, in some ways.
Miss Isabella believes she talks to her mother. That ought to be stopped. It's not healthy.
I know all about that also, and I agree. It's not healthy. I've tried to be subtle about it without alarming Isabella, but there you are. I'm hoping she'll get over it.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's too much.
Take 3 weeks off, Mrs. Fowler. It'll do you good. Paid vacation.
Captain, I know what I saw, and that's that. Now, it is too much of a responsibility, the goings-on in this house. It's too much to bear alone. As of today, sir, I am tendering my notice. I shall forego any severance that is due me, and instead of the customary 2 weeks, I am afraid 5 days is all I can put up with. I shall leave here, then. 5 days from this morning. I do feel sorry for you, Captain. But it is not I who have been struck by lightning. Believe me.
One can't really blame the good Mrs. Fowler. When the inconceivable is added to the incomprehensible, it's asking a great deal of anyone to be patient and forbearing, especially when you consider our story takes place in an era when superstition far outweighed science. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
And it's returned. Superstition
and you
over
have
science.
Returned. You have
mm-hmm.
returned.
I have returned. For the moment.
Actually,
for the nine.
I had to leave and come back myself because I couldn't hear anything out of the speakers.
Gee, Blog Talk, so nice of you to allow the hosts to get into their own show here. You know, that's really swell of you.
Yeah,
but
so good.
We got the loyalist guys, Fogsbane and good old Bob, stuffing it out with us this weekend. And we do try to make things up to you any way we can. Dave, again, comes to the rescue with a little something tomorrow night just to put it in the archive. If you want to listen to it again, be here at 6:30 Eastern. We're not working, not really. Just going to turn it on and turn it off. But just have a record of it because I know you guys heard most of it last night, them of you
yep.
that was with us.
And if you didn't catch the suspense, you need to tune into that. That's the last program we had. And I know that good old Bob was really having a lot of trouble last night
yep.
coming in and out. I know on my recording, there are two times it restarted. So it's really, really frustrating.
Challenging. Challenging. We'll say challenging. Dirty sons
we can say
bear
that.
Cats. Yep. Why those dirty sons of bear cats. But a creepy tale nonetheless.
Yeah, it is. I may have heard this from way back, but it just kind of hit me. Of course, when I'm listening to in the middle of the night with the lights out, it's always so much better. And this one was very worthy for a late night listen. I think I was up half the night after that. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of my first listen of, or not listen, but viewing of Trilogy of Terror with Karen Black and the Zuni fetish doll. Oh, that thing. With his little spear.
Yeah, yeah.
Going after her. There's a cursed doll for you.
Yeah, they just, I'm trying to think of things that kept me up at night. I think one of them was, Arch Obler's Poltergeist. The first time I listened to that was from an LP and listened to it with the lights out, as Arch Obler told me to do. I should not have listened to Arch Obler. I was up pretty much half the rest of the night. I was a teen at that time, and ooh, good story. I'd never heard anything like that before. Seen a couple things somewhat like it, but the imagination is so much worse than the actual sight of it sometimes, you know?
And it is a hideous tale, and we shared it with you way back on January 7th of 2017, our very first broadcast.
That's right.
Our very first old-time radio dedicated show. Erie House was kind of doing talk for a while, but then Dave and I teamed up, and it's been like this ever since, except that usually it works. Usually blood talk.
Yeah, it's been pretty good, but it's been kind of rough this weekend, and there's no warnings about this weekend either, but just in case, I am recording.
Yeah, we may
Some
have to
make... Yep.
We'll throw that up there Monday night if we have to, just again.
If we have to, we'll
keep
get
it in the archives, keep a record of what we're doing here, because future generations may want to know.
Or not.
Or not. If not, we should be torturing them anyway. So.
And of course, the best way to hear one of the last episodes that we've shown, we played, is if you have like a Google, you talk to Google, or you talk to a Siri, say Google Play Podcast Erie House Radio, and it'll bring up the last show that we did. So,
oh, be darned.
So we can do that. We can do that.
Oh, my gosh. Siri and Alexa and all that are looking for us now. There's no hiding.
Yep, that and the police and the FBI. But, you know, so far only Google and Alexa have found us. So.
Yeah. Wait, what did you do for the FBI? Nah, never mind.
I went up putting pictures in the post office, and look how that got me. Yeah.
Yep. Well,
I'm just promoting the TV show.
I'm just leaving my damn microphone on for the rest of the night. I'm not tempting providence, because nothing works around here. I'll tell you, it's gone kaput.
But it is working. Well, I was going to say it was working a little bit better, but so far we both had to clock out and clock back in, and luckily it kept running, so, you know, we're
next
okay.
Thing you know, something else unexpected.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Uh-oh. We're going to break into a polka. Look out, everybody.
Why not?
Give yourself some extra room, because, there aren't any commercials, so. And that's a great, that's one that was used many times by Big Chuck as background music.
Particularly for his certain ethnic skits.
So, and even Parma Place used that a lot.
Yes, Parma Place did use it.
And even Mary Hartsky in there. So, you know, Chuck loved this particular polka for whatever reason. And that's what he grew up with, was the polkas.
Yep. What Dave's referring to with Mary Hartsky, Big Chuck Show did a spoof on the Mary Hartman Show, and the girl they got that played Louise, whatever her
Lassiter.
Name was.
Lassiter.
Yeah, Louise Lassiter's part. She looked amazingly just like her. And they dressed her up, of course, like that. And it was amazing.
Wasn't she the one that did our segments for PM Magazine with Michael Stanley, I'm thinking?
Could be.
Which was on Channel 8, the same channel as Chuck.
Yep. Wouldn't surprise me.
So, you know, if it's all local television here, how Dale and I grew up, and if you'd call us growing up, but... But times like this, we get to go back to our ute and pull out some memories that we have from the various different shows for the were done locally here.
And, that, we got lots of time left.
We do have lots of time because there weren't any commercials with these. So, you know, we do have one more segment to go, and then we have lots and lots of time left.
And lots of bonus material, so don't you worry about a thing. We will not leave you unentertained.
Yeah.
But we might, before we lose track of the story here, we might as well wrap up Toy Death.
Well, let's do that.
From CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
It is said that once a Westerner has come into contact with the East, his eyes are opened. His values warp, and he accepts phenomena his own culture would reject. As if the magnetic needle of one's beliefs inexplicably changed direction from pointing north to pointing east. This may explain why, 1 week later, Mrs. Fowler decided not to leave the employment of Captain Hugh Trevelyan.
Mrs. Fowler, I'm glad you're not going to carry out your threat and abandon ship.
I couldn't. That's what it came down to. I'd be punishing Miss Isabella by leaving her. Something's wrong. Fat lot of good her father is. He's always running off somewhere on business. He doesn't seem to care about her.
Oh, yes, he does. But he's helpless.
Oh, I don't know. He didn't impress me as a caring husband either.
Mrs. Fowler, should you be telling me all this?
Yes, I should. That man... You wouldn't think he'd buried Mrs. Trevelyan right here in our churchyard after that terrible sickness when nobody could do anything for her.
So the Trevelyans returned from India 2 years ago?
Yes, but she was ill long before that in Delhi. The captain brought the family back to England and she just wasted away for 6 months before she died.
Oh, I see. There's another reason I'm glad you didn't leave. Isabella and I... Well... We were getting along famously. I thought she trusted me. But since the night of the thunderstorm...
When I saw that doll walk across the bedroom floor?
Yes. Since that night, she's closed up completely. I've tried to draw her out. She looks at me, but she doesn't really see me. Her mind is somewhere else.
The devil has entered that girl. She's under a spell.
Mrs. Fowler, let us, you and I... Try to get to the bottom of this once and for all tonight. As soon as the captain has retired for the night, say half an hour later, we'll meet in the hall outside the guest room. From there, it's just a few steps to Isabella's.
I'm afraid we can't go into her room yet. She's still awake. See the light under her door. She's lit the lamp by her bedside.
It's very late. Couldn't she have gone to sleep and left it burning?
I hear something. Is she talking?
Where do you want me to go? Leave here. Why isn't it safe?
Who's she talking to? Is there someone in there with her?
What do you mean it's dangerous? The dog. Yes, I remember the dog.
Mrs. Fowler, someone's coming down the hall.
It's the captain.
Oh, we look stupid standing here. What do we say to him?
Open her door. We'll get inside until he passes.
It's locked.
Mrs. Fowler, Tony, may I ask what you two are doing here in the middle of the night? Parker, did I see you trying to open Isabella's door?
Well, I,
You're as white as a ghost.
A ghost, he says.
Captain Trevelyan. Do you hear anything, any unusual sounds coming from Isabella's room?
I do, yes. What is it? There's the wind in the chimney, perhaps. Mrs. Fowler, why haven't the chimney sweeps taken care of it?
I don't think it's that, sir.
Well, then what is it?
It's a little hard to explain.
Yes, well, explain it then in the morning.
I don't know that it's something that can wait until morning, sir.
We think it's that doll, sir. It's alive, and it's talking.
Mrs. Fowler, are you repeating that nonsense you told me last week when you gave your notice? And you, Parker, are you in cahoots with this poor woman? It's an unhealthy game you're playing, and I'd like you to postpone any conversation until morning. Then perhaps in the clear light of day, the both of you will have come to your senses. Good night.
Has he gone?
I just heard his bedroom door shut upstairs.
Why'd she have to lock her door?
You can get in through the garden. The French doors.
Good idea. I can see her quite clearly now through the doors to the garden.
She's lying on her bed, and her eyes are closed. I can see her lips move.
She's talking in her sleep.
But I don't see the doll.
Mrs. Fowler, we must decide. Shall we look, or shall we act? I'll open the French doors.
There it is. Awful thing. Demon.
It's crawling away.
I'll get it. I'll break it to pieces and throw you in the dustbin.
Hey, open the door and let it out.
Don't you dare. Come here, you. My God, you haven't died. Captain Trevelyan. There was life in it. I kicked it, and it kept crawling after me.
Is this so, Tony?
Word for word. Both of us could not have been mesmerized into seeing the identical happening at the same time. But the worst part, of course, is Isabella's strange involvement with this new doll of hers.
Have I seen it?
I doubt it. It's not easily forgotten. By day, she cuddles it like a baby, and at night, we heard her talking to it.
In her sleep, and it answers in a language of its own, like music, like little chimes.
Last night, before you came downstairs, we could hear what she was saying, asking if she was in danger, remembering a dog that died in her arms. There was something about that dog.
The dog died. The dog. Yes, well, you did the right thing to tell me. I've been half expecting something like this. It was bound to find me, sooner or later. They never give up.
Captain Trevelyan, I think tonight, when Isabella's asleep, you should witness this yourself.
Mrs. Fowler, I think you said someone sent this doll to her.
It was delivered. Miss Isabella answered the door, and a man said, "Is this the house of Captain Hugh Trevelyan?" and gave it to her.
You did say that was the man who had been hanging about the house from early morning.
Yes, remember, Captain? I told you I'd seen a man with a turban moving about in the garden one morning.
You never said he wore a turban. Was he dark?
Miss Isabella said so, and very handsome.
Captain, whatever it is, I think you've placed your daughter's life in great danger.
Tonight, I should put a stop to that.
Captain, have you any idea why that doll was brought to this house?
Yes, I do. It was intended for me.
I think you were wise, Captain, to tell Mrs. Fowler not to accompany us tonight.
Was that 2 o'clock that just struck?
Yes, it was.
Isabella must be asleep by now. Let's open her door.
Ah, she's locked it.
Don't I have a key? That's it. Now, come inside. Close the door behind you. Where is this doll?
look at the foot of her bed. That? It has no arms. It's all broken. Let me see. The way the little head is bent so crookedly, I suppose that is a head. All I see is an open red mouth. You say Isabella likes this?
Yes. It's rather mangled now because Mrs. Fowler tried to destroy it.
That girl sleeps like an angel. Look at her.
It's moving.
I must get it away from Isabella.
Careful how you handle it.
It's squirming like it's real. It's all right, child. It's all right. I'm just taking this doll away. My throat! It's at my throat!
He's faint.
What happened? I saw something jump down from his neck.
Is there water in this pitcher?
Yes.
Here. Now, you take this wet cloth. See if you can bring him round.
Father, wake up. Wake up, Father.
He went for that doll, and it leaped up at his throat. And the captain just keeled over. Isabella, don't move. Don't move. He's starting to crawl across the floor.
Oh, what is it? It's horrible.
You don't know it? Don't you recognize it?
That thing, where did it come from? Oh, I can't bear to look at it. Father, please, wake up.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm all right now.
Father, your eyes are open. Look. Look, there's this thing in my room. It's dragging itself to the French doors. Look at it. It's like a giant beetle.
She doesn't remember it, sir. Wait, it's saying something.
Only help me get my father off the floor.
Wait. Boothlager. I don't need any help.
Look, the French doors. They're open.
What did you see, Tony?
A hand reached in and took the thing from the floor.
Father, are you all right?
Isabella, I'm sorry for everything. All the distress I've caused you. I'm sorry your mother is dead. I really loved her so much. She didn't understand, love. Now, you get yourself back to bed. I think you'll sleep better now.
I know you loved Mother. I always knew that.
Good night, my child.
Tomorrow I'm going to ask Mrs. Fowler to help me take down all these dolls and give them to the children in the hospital. Good night, you two. Good night, Father. I love you.
Good morning, Tony. No dictation now. Something else. That little broken doll figure last night said two words. Did you hear them?
Yes, I did, but I couldn't tell what they were.
Well, it was Hindustani. Bhootlager, that means revenge.
That doll said revenge?
A man doesn't spend enough time with his wife in a military job. Sometimes, if she's very far from home, she gets lonely, restless. She may be attracted to a man who has time for her. A native. The husband bred by army life is of violent nature. Instead of facing the native who has stolen his wife's love, he may turn upon the faithless woman, no matter how much he loves her. In some countries, the venom of a cobra is effective. It kills slowly, lingeringly, and leaves no trace.
So at last the wife dies. But what of her lover, who lives?
Perhaps he revenges himself upon the husband, using a fetish known only to a few, and from the sharp touch of which there is no escape.
Are you sure, Captain, there is no antidote? Let me get you to the hospital right now.
It's too late, Tony. In this desk drawer is a packet of letters and a diary. They tell everything the memoirs left out. Write it for me, will you? As for Isabella, I think she likes you. Take care of her.
Within minutes, Captain Hugh Trevelyan was dead. They were never...
Crap.
That was an abrupt ending. Except it looks like it's still playing. Hold on here. I think we lost Dave, too, as well as the audio. There's Dave. Dave, you back?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Now, it was not supposed to, end that way, but it's
no.
Pretty close. Actually, it was at the end of the story, but not at the end of the show. So
yes.
I don't know what happened there because that's not how it ended.
Got it. Well.
I did learn something from this episode, though, Dale.
You did?
Yeah, if it works, we can try it out here.
We could. It still thinks it's playing the end of the other thing, but let's see if we can learn something. Apparently not. This too looks like it's playing, but nothing audible to us in the studio.
Yeah, see, it's still playing because there's actually still something there. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Well done. Well done.
All right. So here's my moral of this story.
All right.
Here is my moral of this story. A doll can make a scary story, but it takes Blog Talk Radio to make it a horror story. There you go.
Yeah. Now we've got to talk for 26 minutes because we don't think we have any audio.
Really? I mean, well, this is, when it's done playing, we might be able to play another clip, maybe.
I don't know. It should be over.
Oh, no.
It should be over. Yeah.
All right. Let me try. You've tried something. Let me go ahead and let me try it. Oh, come on. There's got to be something here. Not too long. Let's try this.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I am. It's not working. Yeah. All right. At least we got the story in. Not the ending, we got the whole story in tonight.
That's right. And a creepy one it was. Dolls have always been a source of creepy, scary stuff. There's companies that make scary dolls. I remember going to Horror Hound once, and they made these babies that were like these hideous monster babies, and you'd wear them. It's almost like you're holding it and cradling it, but you have your arm up in it, and you work it like a puppet. And it was very unsettling, to say the least. Of this infant horror thing. And Dave and I are jumping in and out with them with the microphones. We don't know if you can hear us or not. We're hoping that you can. Let's see if a soundbite will play. No, it will not. Dave, are you back? You look like you are. Live radio. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. Did you ever hang around a cemetery and wonder what all the dead people would be doing if they were alive? They'd be screaming, "Let me out! Let me out!" Yes, they would. It's a beautiful day here in Erie House. Hope you're enjoying the show or have enjoyed the show until it cut out. More about dolls. Hey, why don't we talk about next week? Next week is our Christmas show. Friday at 6:30, it'll be Christmas time with Crisis, Round the Horn, and High Adventure. That'll be Christmas weekend. So that'll be Friday the 22nd, this coming Friday. And then Saturday, we'll have Mutual Radio Theater, and that's going to be a story about Scrooge that you don't want to miss. Also, I'll Bet Your Gar show works at 8 o'clock on the Twitches once we're done here. You're in a whole way screwed. You can blame Blanc Talk and Switch. Why not? I'd love to have you not have to listen to me any further by having something entertaining, but I don't think that's going to happen. Dear me. Hey, why don't somebody give us a call and see if that works? Dave at 646-378-0264. Again, that's 646-378-0264. And find out if the phone works. Could try that.